This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in. There's a lot going on this week. There's a man outside my house with a drill. So, I don't know if you can hear him, but I definitely can. So there's plenty to keep us distracted for the bank holiday weekend and the somewhat minging weather outside. I mean, drizzly, misty rain. It's the worst. You know, you look out the window, you get your hopes up, it's not raining outside, and then upon closer inspection, it's just there. Just low-key and depressing. What the f... Anyways, that's enough Michael fishing weather-wise from me. We've got other exciting things to talk about. So, shall we begin?
I have a boyfriend!
Yes, we're all fully aware.
Come on.
I want to tell people. It's hard to find the right time.
Your friend group is so nice. How did you get to know everyone?
I want you to come out when and how you want to.
It's back, people. It's back. Heartstopper Season 1 captured the beauty of queer teen love between Nick and Charlie magnificently and was a breakout smash hit for Netflix. Based on Alice Oseman's stunning and absolutely gorgeous young adult graphic novels, Season 2 has finally landed and looks just as sweet. With the love-struck lads possibly set to go public with their relationship in the new season and a school trip to Paris with their best friends Elle and Tao, how will their peers and families react to this possible big reveal? This coming-of-age drama will put us all through the ringer yet again this season, and you can expect a roller coaster, an emotional journey. It's going to be a tearjerker. A box of tissues may be required. That's Heartstopper Season 2, which is now on Netflix.
I used to have this mean, critical voice in my head.
I am what I am.
Shut up!
But I committed to my recovery, and I got better.
So come take a look.
But sometimes I wonder if that voice is what got me here.
Give me the hook.
Are you ready?
Oh, yes. I certainly am.
I am what I am.
Hi, I'm Sheila D. Rubin. Let's move.
You are a national television personality now.
We're building a place for women to be free of judgment.
We should offer meditation.
Lamas.
Yoga.
Pottery. Lesbians. Yes.
What?
We're brainstorming. There's no bad ideas.
Not so swoony and with a lot more bite. Physical returns to Apple TV Plus for its third and final season. Rose Byrne plays Sheila Rubin, a woman struggling in her life as a quietly tortured housewife in the 80s, who then finds an unconventional path to power through an unlikely source, the world of aerobics. This extremely dark, this extremely dark comedy continues to embrace its world of highly unlikable characters. I mean, there are some mingers in here, and continues to improve, as far as I'm concerned, with each season. Rose Byrne is absolutely brilliant as a kind of, well, not even a kind of, she's just an anti-hero, Jane Fonda. And this final season will delve into how Sheila builds her empire and whether she can maintain it and what bodies she has to climb over to get there. One of those bodies may be Zooey Deschanel, who is one of our new and biggest rivals. Oh! It's all going to kick off, people. Along with its absolutely glorious 80s soundtrack, this show, while not everyone's cup of tea, is a must-see for me. As I said, stress factor 50 every episode. Oh my God. That's Physical Season 3, the final season, now on Apple TV Plus. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to wear a leotard and leg warmers while watching it. So I hear. So I hear.
Alice is my granddaughter, and she will be living with us from now on.
Who am I to keep you down?
This
Some people in this town don't like the idea of women running a farm. They don't like that we keep to ourselves and that we're different.
What the hell happened out there?
Every day is a chance to start over. Alice deserves it.
The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart on Prime Video is a 7-part Australian series based on the book by Holly Ringland and starring Sigourney Weaver and Alicia Debenham Carey. This decade-spanning drama centres on the title character who begins her life in an abusive household and then orphaned at the age of 9 following a mysterious fire, always, always mysterious, moves to a flower farm to live with her grandmother. As further secrets about her family's past are uncovered, the suspense and unravelling of this mystery thriller unfolds. Oh, it's all going to get a bit dark, I tell you. That's The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart, which has its first 3 episodes now streaming on Prime Video. I am Groot. Yes, yes, people. James Gunn's parting gift to Marvel Studios before he decided to jump ship and head up DC Studios. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is now finally available to stream on Disney+. This trilogy closer, complete with its awesome mixtape soundtrack, as per usual, and its extremely dark backstory, which places Bradley Cooper's renegade Rocket Raccoon front and centre, while Peter Quill, played by Chris Pratt, of course, and the crew of the Milano set out to save their friend's life. One of the best Marvel projects in quite some time, we're not going to lie. And if you did miss it in the cinemas, now is your chance to catch it at home and bid farewell to this extremely likeable bunch of misfits and space nomads. Ah, yes. Good old Guardians. So that is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is now on Disney+. And 2 series on Netflix, which are dropping the second half of their seasons, because this is all the rage these days. We have Lincoln Lawyer Season 2, Part 2. This one sees the final 5 episodes of Michael Connelly's Mickey Haller return to finish off the adaptation of Connelly's book, The Fifth Witness. So that is Lincoln Lawyer Season 2, Part 2. And then Fatal Seduction Season 1, Part 2, also on Netflix. This steamy South African drama returns for its concluding part to the first and quite popular season. A professor who believes her husband is having an affair goes off and herself has one with a younger man. And well, you know, when you hang out with younger men, things tend to kick off a bit. And seemingly, there was a belter of a cliffhanger. Not going to lie, I may not have watched it, but I've heard enough buzz. So if steamy windows and mystery thrillers are your jam, or your butter, or your bread, then look no further than Fatal Seduction Season 1, Part 2, now on Netflix.
This is a story of a kid who lost himself and boxing saved his life.
At Florida Gator football, there's no second place trophies.
We train like soldiers.
This team had a chance to be so special, and we were so close to doing it.
It is the biggest doping scandal in sports history,
including Barry Bonds.
We determined what to take, when to take it. It was all based on circumventing the testing.
Manziel Madness has spawned the nickname Johnny Football.
I thought I played better the harder I partied.
19-year-old kid, have 100 grand stuffed under your bed.
It was awesome.
Untold Volume 3 lands on Netflix with another mix of fascinating and addictive stories from the world of sports. This volume features Jake Paul, the 26-year-old YouTube star turned boxer who became, yeah, possibly one of the most hated men in sport. Will this warm him to us? Will it? Will it really? Who knows? Also, we'll see how college football's Heisman Trophy winner John Manziel's wild rise as a promising young quarterback became way too much to handle. How Vic Conti, the founder of a sports nutrition centre, was at the centre of one of the largest doping scandals in sports history. And finally, how the Florida Gators went from league underdogs to winners of 2 national championships under notoriously demanding coach Urban Meyer and quarterback Tim Tebow. Ah, Timmy, go on, Tebow. Listen, if you like sports documentaries in any way, then this is the series for you. I've absolutely loved all the episodes so far. just bail in. Doesn't actually matter if you like the sports themselves. It's the outrageous and insane tales that this series is telling, which is gripping and enjoyable and is very, very appealing. That's Untold Volume 3, which is now dropping weekly on Netflix, with the Jake Paul being the first one to drop. Also in the sports side of things, Mark Cavendish, Never Enough on Netflix, is a sports movie documentary about one of the most celebrated British sportsmen of all time. Over the last 7 years, however, the sprinter has crashed out of a potentially record-beating Tour de France, plunged headfirst into a spiral of injury, illness and depression, and attempted to mount one of the most spirited comebacks in his sports history. This film has exclusive access to Mark and his wife, Pita, as well as many of his teammates and coaches, and promises to be a remarkably raw and unflinchingly honest story of an icon's rise and fall, and possibly rise again. So that is Mark Cavendish, Never Enough, now on Netflix. Where do I even begin? imagine selling Sunset set on the high seas. Yes, you got that? Imagine brokers selling stunningly expensive super yachts to the rich and the powerful. Oh yeah, I can envision that. Imagine squabbling, backstabbing, partying, lush lifestyles where not a single person is made to walk the plank. And imagine it all set in Magic City itself, Miami, Florida. Well, you guessed it. Imagine no more, cause Hot Yachts Season 1 is now on Paramount Plus. Hot Yachts, people. Like, seriously, why wouldn't you be watching this? I'm getting a tan already from the TV, just adoring these extremely likeable and charming people. Oh my god. More wine. More wine! And if that's not your thing and you're looking for something a bit more serious with less tan, how about Poisoned, the Truth About Your Food on Netflix? This is a documentary which, through revealing interviews with experts and victims' families, examines the problem of deadly foodborne illnesses in the US. Based on the best-selling book, Poisoned, the True Story of the Deadly E. Coli Outbreak That Changed the Way Americans Eat, just because it's about America doesn't mean it won't freak you out the next time you head to the supermarket for your weekly shop. Oh, how we laughed. That's Poisoned, the Truth About Your Food, which is now on Netflix. Moving into the non-English section, what can I say? Japanese and zombies. Yes, Zom 100, Bucket List of the Dead, is now on Netflix. For those zombie lovers out there, this Japanese movie adaptation of a manga and anime series tells the story of 20-year-old Akira. Bullied by his boss, slavishly worked around the clock, he's nothing more than a corporate drone. Yet, all it takes is a zombie outbreak for him to finally feel alive and to create a bucket list of 100 things he wants to do before he feels he will inevitably become a zombie. And why not? Absolutely batshit. Totally absurd. It's a zombie comedy. So yes, I am all in. Oh yes, very excited, very excited. That is Zom 100, Bucket List of the Dead, now on Netflix. Take a Chance is a... coming from Sweden, and yes, this is quite a creepy documentary film about Gert van der Graaf, a convicted stalker with an unwavering obsession for ABBA's Agnetha Fältskog. The film follows his childhood infatuation with the band, which compels him to search for Agnetha in Sweden. Through Gert's own narration, the film unveils his transformation into a stalker. Oh boy, oh boy. The freaky and somewhat disturbing documentary Take a Chance is now on Prime Video. And finally in this section, Soulcatcher on Netflix is a Polish thriller about a military contractor hired to seize a weapon that turns people into savage killers, who then seeks revenge when his brother, of course, falls victim to the device. Absolute nonsense, but with some decent action. That's the Polish movie Soulcatcher, now on Netflix.
Breaking news exposing the CIA's sabotage of Iran's nuclear reactor.
We'll cover his blood. We'll leave in 15 minutes.
Stretching point.
It's an old CIA base in Kanar.
I just want to go home, and I'll be with you.
The distance is not the main issue. It's what's in between. Any of them catch my guys, I'll sell them to the highest bidder.
in Kandahar on Prime Video, Jared Butler reunites with Angel Has Fallen and Greenland director Rick Roman Vow, which sees the Scotsman star as Tom Harris, a CIA operative trying to flee Afghanistan after a failed mission. Joined by translator Mo, Tom makes a break for Kandahar, pursued by world-class mercenaries and elite enemy forces. Okay, let me repeat that slowly and allow it to sink in. Jared Butler, a man once described as the Scottish Schwarzenegger, reunites with Angel Has Fallen and Greenland director. That's it. That is all you need to hear. Kandahar is now on Prime Video.
Andrew Collins, you go by Drew, right? Welcome home. I've been designed and programmed to cater to your every need.
So she's like the house or what?
Most people just call me Margo.
Kidding?
Now go explore.
This is amazing!
Come alone into my paradise.
I have quite the weekend in store for you.
In this week's Straight to VHS section, we have Margo, which is a tech-based chiller on Paramount+. Given the current industry-wide conversations about ChatGPT and God damn it, the rise of AI, Margo, yes, gains its title from the name given to its antagonist, an AI-driven house. What can go wrong? Everything seemingly Tink Megan, but as a fancy house. Riverdale's Vanessa Morgan stars as one of those annoying college partygoers who kind of one by one are seemingly getting wiped out Final Destination style by this fairly creepy house. Do you know what? It might make you think twice about getting one of those creepy robot vacuum cleaners. Oh, they're everywhere. Shall we play a game? Anyway, don't care. It's absolute trash. I love horror trash, and it's on Paramount Plus, and that is Margo. In Maggie Moore on Sky Cinema and Now TV, a bizarre double murder in an otherwise quiet desert town has shook local police chief Jordan Sanders. The two dead women have no connection to each other, except they're both named Maggie Moore. What? The investigation gets even more complicated when Jordan, played by John Hamm, begins a romantic relationship with one of the murdered women's neighbours, who, yes, you guessed it, is also a witness in the case. Starring Tina Fey, Nick Mohammed and John Hamm, cheap and cheerful, more straight-to-video nonsense, if you had a video. That's Maggie Moore, which is now on Sky Cinema and Now TV.
Hollywood. This was the craziest story.
Outrageous.
Devastating.
Insane.
Randall Emmett is sketch at best.
Randall Emmett, Hollywood movie producer.
Lala Kent, reality star. Vanderpump Rules.
The lifestyle, the Rolls Royces, the jets. You paid so much just to have status.
Vanderpump Rules, it's about these young, hot 20-somethings.
This is the juiciest time in reality show history.
How could I not have been smarter? Like, I beat myself up daily.
The Randall Scandal, Love, Loading and Vanderpump on Disney Plus is an investigation into the many accusations that have been levelled against B-movie mogul Randall Emmett. When Randall's relationship with Vanderpump Rules star Lala Kent implodes, he's caught in a swarm of bombshell allegations and lawsuits that shake and rock Hollywood. Oh, this 90-minute doc promises to take viewers closer to the truth about a man variously accused of racial discrimination, workplace abuse, and the mistreatment of aphasia sufferer Bruce Willis. This examination of power and corruption in film and TV industry looks like it's an absolute must-watch. And hey, if you're a Vanderpump Rules fan, and you know you are, this one's for you. So The Randall Scandal, Love, Loading and Vanderpump is now on Disney+. Also on Disney+, we have one for the little tween girls who, you know, are all in the mood for sleepovers and parties. Yes, we have The Slumber Party. Following the consequences of a sleepover birthday party and a hypnotism that went slightly wrong, Megan, Paige and Veronica wake up with no memories of the night before. Think The Hangover for kids, and more importantly, think of it as a wonderful distraction for the smallies, which will allow you to watch whatever the hell you want. Just stick it on over there and give them some pizza and all the sugary drinks, and it's grand. So that is the Slumber Party, now on Disney Plus.
Do you think the Lakers can win another title?
You bet.
Any advice for your opponents?
Better watch out. Magic back, baby.
Basketball's the sport of the decade. You got the kids on the team now. The bus empire's taking off.
We brought home the gold,
but one ring ain't gonna keep us in that room.
We gotta keep winning.
And finally on streaming this week, Winning Time Season 2 lands on Sky Atlantic and Now TV. This one drops on Monday, August 7th, and continues to explore the professional and personal lives of the legendary 80s LA Lakers lineup. This time around, the focus is drawn to the period just after those 1980 finals of the last series and takes us all the way up to 1984. Season 1 was an absolute blast. John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss and Quincy Isaiah as Magic Johnson were the standouts for me, but there were some absolutely brilliant and fantastic scene stealers all across the huge cast. Loved it. Loved it. This season looks as crazy as the first one, and I'm delighted that Mick Shiklis is back in his role as Boston Celtics manager Arnold Red Auerbach. And it's going to be much meatier as the classic rivalry between the two teams grows. Oh yeah! Love it. Love it. Winning Time, Season 2 on Sky Atlantic and Now TV from Monday, August 7th. And even though it's in next week's show, is this a show or is this a podcast? I don't know what we are. Anyway, just to highlight, on Tuesday, August 8th, Only Murders in the Building Season 3 drops. So just to warn you, but we'll talk about that next week. And that's your streaming. Absolutely fantastic. There's actually some really good stuff there. I think I will be having a very nice, chilled bank holiday weekend. And if I do decide to wander the streets because the weather slightly improves, I may head back indoors and see what's on in the cinema. And of course, there's only one place to start there. I see nonsense on the horizon, and I must swim towards it. Absolute nonsense!
Jonas, we need your help. We're detecting increased aquatic activity 25,000 feet deep in the trench. It's an ancient ecosystem untouched by man. Whatever is down there is trying to make its way to the surface.
This was a bad idea.
Just a little bit.
Meg 2, The Trench, sees a group of scientists who must outrun, outsmart, and outswim their merciless prehistoric predators when a mining operation threatens their mission and forces them into a high-stakes battle for survival. Blah, 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 blah. Who gives an absolute crap? It's Jason Statham returning in the sequel to The Meg. Yes, the sequel that I don't think anybody truly asked for, but then it made loads of money, and now it's back, and bizarrely directed by all-around indie specialist Ben Wheatley. Take the money, man. Take the money. This looks like absolute B-movie trash of the highest order, and yes, 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 of course I'll be going to see it. I'm only human after all. And of course I'll be attending with my Meg crew. What do you mean you don't have a Meg crew? Everyone needs a Meg crew. I don't think of us as losers, but winners. Winners in the game of life. Although I do fear for our sanity, because while the first Meg was fun, this has a sniff of danger. And I don't mean in a good way. But it must be done. So that's Meg 2, The Trench, now in cinemas. As I mentioned last week, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem also has released, and now, a week later, I have seen it and can report it is a thing of beauty. Coming across like a distant relative to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, animation style-wise, this is a hugely enjoyable and fun movie, with a killer soundtrack and all the teen emo angst you would expect from the original graphic novel. This is another animated cracker that is well worth your time. The stroke of genius probably in this movie is using actual teenagers to voice the turtles, and they bring a lot of heart, and I gotta love it. I love it. So good. Ice Cube is absolutely sensational as Superfly, and another shout out goes to Paul Rudd as Mondo Gecko, who is just insane. Beautiful looking, whole lot of fun. This one comes with a huge recommendation. Those heroes in their half shells, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem is now in cinemas.
Listen up, listen up, listen up.
Oh my god, you're a drug dealer?
You gonna plug or you gonna play?
Is that a condom?
You look like you've had a lot of things in your asshole.
Oh, not a lot of things, just one thing, but maybe different varieties of that one thing.
Look at me, look at me, look at me go.
Stick your hand up there like a claw machine trying to get the stuffed bear.
Okay.
Get that bear!
I'm getting the bear!
So powerful.
What? If you do not know where you come from, how do you know who you are?
I'm just a garbage American who only speaks English. And a little golem.
My precious little filthy orbitses.
Do you guys have that here?
Yeah, we have. It's all over the world. Y'all calling
me crazy. And finally in cinemas this week, we have Joyride. When Audrey's business trip to Asia goes sideways, she enlists the help of Lola, her childhood's best friend, Kat, a college friend, and Deadeye, Lolo's eccentric cousin. Their epic, no-holds-barred experience becomes a journey of bonding, friendship, belonging, and of course, wild debauchery that reveals the universal truth of what it means to know and love who you are. Coming across like a mix between The Hangover and Crazy Rich Asians, this is 1,000,000,000% an adult comedy. It's hoping to find an audience who are, you know, Barbenheimered out, which, best of luck with that, lads. I fear it may get lost in the haze of the pink desert dust. But after Jennifer Lawrence's somewhat successful No Hard Feelings earlier in the summer, maybe there is room for another hardcore comedy. Or maybe folks will just wait for streaming. Ashley Park, Sabrina Wu, Sherry Cola and Stephanie Hugh star in Joyride, which is now in cinemas. And that's your streaming and that's your cinemas for the week. Yeah, not bad. As I said, plenty to distract you. And yeah, let's have a think about things. Maybe three things in pop culture that caught our eye this week. Three things, five things, loads of things. Yes, it's another week, another fairly low-key week in the world of goss and movies and streaming, with the strike still keeping most folks busy and on the streets and breaking any chance of decent news. There were a few little things. Gal Gadot hinted that James Gunn and Peter Safran at DC are all in for a new Wonder Woman 3, but without Patty Jenkins, because they basically got rid of her. So that's interesting. While nothing has been confirmed to date, that's somewhat intriguing, because the reboot is getting less of a reboot by the day and just same old DC. We'll see what happens there. In other news, Sony were the first studio to officially push some of their movies from this autumn into 2024 due to the strike, with Kraven the Hunter and Ghostbusters Afterlife 2 both getting the hell out of Dodge due to a foreseeable lack of actors and publicity opportunities. And also we hear that Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, which we knew hadn't been fully recorded voice actor-wise, looks like it's off the grid completely, indefinitely, and may not even land until 2025. What? Oh, man. Speaking of strikes, news that the studios and streamers want to talk to the Writers Guild on Friday, as in today. While it seems like great news, it could all be just a bit of smoke and mirrors. And no matter what happens, it'll still be at least September or even October before anything gets resolved. And as you'll notice, I said writers, not actors. They don't like the actors at the moment. It's all a bit of divide and conquer tic-tacs tactics. Ahoy, so we'll see. Anyway, as I said, low-key stuff. I'm not even going to mention the fact that Crayon Company, Crayola, have now following the success of Barbie, decided, yep, we can be a movie studio too, and they're getting in on the acts. Nah, not to see there. That's a bit Barbie, you've a lot to answer for. And finally, definitely finally, for anyone on a Taylor Swift Eras tour watch, she finishes up her mahoosive record-breaking US tour this week with 5 sold-out nights at the SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, the last 2 dates of which are August 8th and 9th. 8 and 9. 8, 9. 89. Yes, you heard it here. Because 1989, Taylor's version, while not released next week, will surely be announced of one of these gigs. It's just the opportunity of a lifetime. Then again, some of us are just way too invested. And with that bombshell, yeah, I think I'm out of here. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Little orbitses. Well, hello. Hello. Hi. How are you? Still here? Still? You're not in a van or a bus or a back of a car on the way to All Together Now or on your way to the cinema or the beach? Why would you go to the beach? The weather is absolutely muck. But anyway, yes. Judging by the ramblingness that's going on right now, you have truly entered the Thunderdome. Post-credit nuggets are again ready to go. And of course, we're going to talk box office numbers again, because that unstoppable Barbenheimer train is demolishing all who come before them. So let's talk Barbie first. Yes, because Barbie deserves to be talked about first. Because after 14 days, she now sits at a worldwide gross of $816 million. What the fuck? Sweet Lord and Mama, this is absolutely insanity. The numbers people believe that Greta Gerwig's juggernaut will have passed $1 billion at the global box office by Sunday or Monday. Stunning. Stunning. Amazing. Take a bow, everybody. Woo! And as discussed previously, with its production costs of $145 million and marketing spend of $150 million, Barbie has been making a theatrical profit from about the $700 million mark. And every penny from there on, it's on the gravy train, people. They are on the gravy train. Wow. So the big question now is, what seemed quite impossible a few weeks back is, will it catch the worldwide number one that was, or that is, Super Mario Brothers, which is at $1.35 billion. Hold on to your hats, because this is going to be a fascinating race. My money is definitely on a yes, because the release schedule for the next month is not exactly going to blow your mind. So Barbie has a free run. As for Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer, yes, it is also still on a similar path to theatrical success, with a $435 million after 14 days. Again, this is a 3-hour movie set in the desert about the atomic bomb. What the feck? It's still behaving, as is Barbie, like a superhero or large IP summer movie, and continues to reel those folks in. Just come on in. Just whap my hand with the excitement there. With a production cost of $100 million, a marketing campaign of $80 million, and Nolan's gross back-end spend, which is currently at about $40 million, Yeah, I did my math wrong last week, because this Nolan money, as we're now calling it, is pure cash for Christopher, taken as 20% once exhibitors and cinemas get their cash. Either way, he's a very happy man. And again, by next week, this movie will be making proper profitable cash all over the gaff. And as far as I can remember, I think it's about to pass out Batman Begins as another of Nolan's best movies ever performing. What? See, I'm so excited I can't even speak English, but that's it. That's the way it goes. The post-credit is all about non-English and absolute nonsense. For one week only, I'm going to lay off poor Tom and Mission Impossible just for this week, or along with Indy, because I'm feeling good. But we will return to check their well dodgy and extremely disappointing numbers, because they are rough. And who knows, we might even finally get to talk about Sound of Freedom. Sound of who now? A faith-based QAnon adjacent thriller made for feck all money that may actually beat these big two blockbusters at the US box office. Wow, what the hell's going on? But for now, do you know what? Enjoy your bank holiday weekend. And if you don't have a bank holiday, just pretend I didn't say that. And just have a good one. Oh, I nearly forgot. I'd like to give a personal shout out to Idris Elba and and Hijack. 7 episodes of beautiful, glorious, absolutely preposterous nonsense. And you had me hooked. Every week, every Wednesday morning was like Christmas morning getting up and watching the episodes. So if you haven't watched it yet, turn off your brain and embrace the big man. It is simply awesome. It's like 24, but it takes a lot less time. 7, but without things like heads in a box. And I'm going to shut up now. And with that, arrivederci.